Okay, let's get now to our broadcast partners, Ken Timmerman. He's in Washington, D.C. We find him on the run someplace in Washington. And Ken, let me talk with you about, first of all, what seems to be the major story in Europe. It's what's happening there in the Ukraine. It seems to be exploding. And in fact, the Russian officials are saying that the Ukraine is out of control. What's happening in that part of the world?
Well, the Ukraine is spinning out of control, and it's in part thanks to Russia and Russia's intervention in the domestic affairs of that country. Where this all began, Jimmy, was a measure passed by the Ukrainian parliament to sign a trade agreement with the European Union and to associate Ukraine with the European Union. That infuriated Putin. It infuriated the Russian nationalists. And the president of Ukraine tried to dial that back against the will of parliament and against the will of people, and instead cut a deal with the Russians. And the Russians were going to bribe Ukraine with about $15 billion worth of debt relief, which might have taken care of 1 year of their actual problem, and then made them indentured servants by selling them natural gas at preferential rates, but in exchange for political servitude. Ukrainian people rose up against that. They much prefer being tied to the Europeans than to the Russians. What's happened since then is this very violent crackdown by the Ukrainian police and the interior ministry forces, essentially the Ukrainian version of the KGB. And the way that they are treating people is absolutely outrageous. They're stripping protesters naked out in the snow and beating them and then herding them onto buses naked. They're posing them for pictures. I mean, there are YouTube videos up there about that. It's pretty awful.
It is a dangerous situation. And some are even giving their lives for what's going on. Is it that key, that important, that they would give up their life? Is this a matter of life and death?
Well, I think the Ukrainians, for many Ukrainians, they see it that way. If they return to the Soviet Union, basically, because that's what this is all about. Either they sign this agreement with the Russians and essentially become, once again, part of the Russian Empire. It's no longer the Soviet Empire, but it would be the Russian Empire. Or do they essentially assert their independence by aligning themselves more with the European Union and freedom?
We're going to have to stay on top of this story. It is a developing story right now. Another developing story is taking place in Switzerland. The Syrians, the government itself, a representative from the government, the foreign minister, and the opposition that is fighting the Bashar Assad regime, trying to bring them down, have been in Geneva. They are there for the purpose of Geneva Chapter 2 as it relates to trying to bring an end to this civil war, some 3 years in the making. And indeed, it looks like the foreign minister of Syria may pull out. It does not look like they're doing well in their discussions.
Well, that's no surprise. I mean, the surprise is that the Syrian government and the opposition actually agreed to sit down after 3 years of fighting. So the very fact that they're there, I think, is relatively good news. No one should be surprised that their venomous words and a lot of animosity, even verbal violence. Look, verbal violence beats shooting each other, right? Look, if the talks can continue, and that's a big if right now, but if the talks can continue, there's a possibility that something could come out of it that could lead to a ceasefire and the end of the bloodshed. But it's a really big if, and clearly the two sides are way, way apart. The opposition and the United States and most of America's partners right now are insisting as a precondition that President Bashar al-Assad step down. And the Syrian government obviously is not going along with that. So that's where they are right now. And my guess, if I had to look into a crystal ball, just as on negotiating positions, the opposition is not going to get what they want. They're not going to get Assad stepping down. What they might get as an ultimate position would be a gradual, stepping aside over a 3 to 5 year period with some form of interim elections, with international monitoring, and surprise, surprise, Assad might actually win those elections. So, this is not over. It would be great if those talks could continue for another week or 10 days or 2 weeks, whatever. an early end to them would mean, obviously, more bloodshed.
You know what's interesting to me, Ken, that those representing the opposition do not actually represent all of the different parties that would be opposed to the Bashar Assad regime. There's a number of Islamic radical groups that there, and they're not at this meeting there in Geneva.
Well, that's right. And what that essentially means is that even if, and the long shot solution, even if they come to some kind of agreement, the Islamist groups are not going to accept it. The last time that the Assad regime, in this case it was the father, faced the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic radicals was 1982, and his response was essentially to decimate the entire city of Hama, massacre about 20,000 people, and turn half of the city into a parking lot.
Wow, that is exactly what could happen, and of course there are a lot of reports of atrocities taking place and supposedly being blamed on the Assad regime, but the other side is guilty as well. Well, many things happening in Switzerland. The global elite have come together to try to reshape this world. What do you think about that and all of this meeting that's going on with these economic and political powers?
Well, this is the annual Davos meeting, and it's, I don't know, it's the funny season, so to speak. It's when reporters from the so-called mainstream media, meaning the left-wing press, get together with people in government and major economic players, and heads of corporation, movie stars like Matt Damon. I mean, please, tell me why this is significant. Nothing comes out of these meetings. It's a gab fest. It's a 3-day party in a beautiful surrounding in a ski resort in the Swiss Alps, but nothing serious ever comes out of these meetings.
Interesting that Rouhani was there, and he made this statement that he wants to develop better ties with everybody in the world except Israel. Boy, that's a statement.
Well, you know, it's not the first time that the Iranians have sent a smiling mullah to Davos. They sent Khatami there before. Rafsanjani was there in the 1980s and early 1990s. They try this charm fest every time that they can. And unfortunately, there's still people out there who are gullible enough to fall for it.
Let's look at Egypt just for a moment, Ken. It looks like that the head of the military, al-Sisi, General al-Sisi, is about to resign and possibly run for president. Many of his supporters are urging him to do exactly that. Would this be a good move as it relates to Egypt? And I've got to bring up the caveat, the Brotherhood has not gone away either.
Right. I think it would bring stability to Egypt. Obviously, the decision is up to the Egyptian people, but it's pretty clear that General al-Sisi has broad-based popular support. It's also pretty clear that an overwhelming majority of the Egyptian people is relieved beyond measure that the Muslim Brotherhood is out of power. Now, as you mentioned, they will remain underground. They will still be a force to be reckoned with no matter what happens in the future. But I think General Sisi has got popular support in keeping them under wraps and preventing them from really organizing as a political party in the way that they did before. This week, there were more terrorist attacks in Cairo. I believe 5 people were killed. It seems pretty clear that Muslim Brotherhood elements, perhaps not the official party itself, but people close to the Muslim Brotherhood were behind this. And you're going to see that kind of thing happening from time to time. So I think Egyptians are pretty much tired of that. They want the country to get back to normal, and General al-Sisi seems their best bet.
He could possibly bring stability to this nation that is really divided at this point in time. Ken Timmerman, looking at geopolitical activities around the world, helping us to understand the details behind the headlines. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.